Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful worship. And let's continue to worship Him. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you for this time. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So let's go to the Word of God. We are continuing on the mysterious Jerusalem. And I told you that the mystery of Jerusalem, many Christians have not understood, because of which they don't understand the bride of Christ, because of which they don't understand the end times, because of which they are deceived about the Antichrist. So the mystery of Jerusalem is a mysterious place. Jerusalem is an ancient place. Jerusalem existed in the archives of the third heaven, of the heavens of God. Jerusalem already existed, but a copy of that city of Jerusalem God wanted to establish on the earth from the beginning. And so we covered a lot, and we saw last time through some parts of the mysterious Jerusalem. First part that I told you, it was the intention of Lucifer, that from the beginning he was coveting a throne, and the throne was called the Mount of the Congregation, which is the throne of Jerusalem. So he coveted the throne of the holy city Jerusalem, but he was thrown down. And then in the second part we saw that there is not one Jerusalem, there are two Jerusalem. Apostle Paul talks about that in Galatians. The book of Hebrews talks about that the saints lived on this earth, not seeking for the earthly Jerusalem. Abraham, Sarai, the Old Testament patriarchs, they got a hold of the vision of the heavenly Jerusalem. That is what we saw in Hebrews chapter number 11. That is what we saw in Galatians chapter number 4, that there are two Jerusalem. And it is God's intention for the holy city Jerusalem, that is the heavenly Jerusalem, to reign. Then we saw the new Jerusalem, how the original city of Jerusalem is in the book of Revelation. And even there at the end of time, before the devil was going to be thrown in the lake of fire, he gathers all the dead souls in the book of Revelation. We saw after the 1,000 years of reign, he gathers all the dead souls and the nations who have already dead and gone. He gathers them, and they come up against the holy city Jerusalem. They come up against the city where the saints of God were there reigning for 1,000 years. So that is the devil's intention. He wants to destroy, even at the end, even before he was going to be thrown in the lake of fire, he wanted to destroy the city of Jerusalem. And because the city of Jerusalem is coveted by Lucifer himself, it makes the physical city of Jerusalem here on earth the most controversial place on earth. The city of Jerusalem, it is being coveted by Muslims. Muslims says that is our inheritance. Jewish people claim that. Christians say, oh, that is the holy land because Jesus walked on it. There are many rituals attached to it, and so on and so forth. It was besieged so many times. It is fought for, and even until now it is fought for. And countries want to make that city as their own capital, or want to establish their religious settings in that place because it is the most controversial place. And even the Antichrist and the coming of the Antichrist revolves around the city of Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is the center place of the tension. Even the problems that are going on in the Middle East, the conflict that is going between the nation of Israel and the other nation. So there will come one who will bring peace, concerning Jerusalem, any which way. So we saw those parts, we saw those things about Jerusalem. Now let's look at the origination. How did Jerusalem originate on the face of the earth? The earthly Jerusalem originate on the face of the earth. Okay, now to look at the origination of Jerusalem, we have to look at altars. Now, one of the aspect of altars, an altar is the mark of God's ownership over a certain territory. Write it down. I have already taught this, but in order to see the origination of Jerusalem, we have to understand that aspect of altar. An altar is the mark of God's ownership over a certain earthly territory. So if God wants to rule a territory, if God wants to rule over a tribe of people, there needs to be an altar through which God will execute his ownership. God will execute his rule. Christians who have just believed in Christ and who are doing nothing about praying and meditating on the word in their family are not building altars. So if you don't build altars, how will the rule of God be executed in your house? For your information, the church is also an altar. When Jesus talks about the church, he said, Peter, you will not be called Cephas, but you will be called Peter. Peter means the rock. So you were a reed, you know, his name Simon. You will not be called Simon, you will be called Peter. Simon means a wavering reed, but you will be called Peter, the rock. And on this stone, I will start to build my church. And then when you read the epistles of Apostle Paul, he says that we are all living stones coming together, to form the spiritual building that is the church. When you read the book of Ephesians, Apostle Paul talks about that the church is a building built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Jesus being the what chief cornerstones. So the church is the coming together of the stones, and stones coming together of stones is not coming together of bricks. That how the way your house is constructed in which you live, it is bricks. It is every brick is of the same shape. But the church is the coming together of stones. Try to gather. If you have stones there outside your house tomorrow morning, go and look at the stones and try to bring 5-6 stones together and try to see if those 6 stones are the same in shape. No, they are not. They are all different. Hallelujah. And in this stone, that is how an altar is built in the ancient times. The altars were built with stones. Are we together? So Jesus talks about the coming together of living stones of the people. People, the church is not a building. The church is not an infrastructure. The church is people coming together. Even now we are coming together, we form a church. And what does a church looks like? The church is a coming together of the stones to build up an altar. And when we come together and build up an altar, we are marking the place, the territory as God's ownership, so that the ordinances of heaven, the purposes of heaven can be executed through our gathering, through the altar of God. Okay, hallelujah. So a person in the family who has never thought it necessary to build an altar, God cannot work in that family. Even though I accepted Christ 25 years back, brother, and I go to the traditional church and we sing hallelujah. Yeah, sometimes on the Easter and on the Good Friday, I even raise my hands. So I am a Christian. No, you have not even built an altar. So God is not even able to execute or release his plans in your family. Every family needs to have an altar, because the altar is the mark of God's ownership over the group of individuals, over territories. That is how Jerusalem birthed. That is how God started to birth Jerusalem on the face of the earth. The copy and the print of the holy city that is in heaven. God started to execute the plan by the start of a man building an altar. unto God, and the altar had to signify the providence of God and what will be provided for Jerusalem. Listen to me, from the beginning, the bride of Christ is the holy city of Jerusalem. Everyone say that. The bride of Christ is the holy city of Jerusalem. Yes, that is the bride of Christ. You got to understand that. The holy city of Jerusalem. Until a Christian has the vision and beholds the holy city of Jerusalem, we don't understand properly the concept of the bride. Okay, I've already explained that in the Friday meeting, but for the benefit of those who are not there in the Friday meeting, let me just quickly read the word from Revelation chapter number 21. Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 9. It says, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Hallelujah. Having the glory of God. Everything we read about that, the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem last Friday. So that is what the Bible says. That is the bride of Christ. Now, where were Abraham, Sarah, the heroes of faith, traveling towards? They were not traveling towards the earthly Jerusalem. It says they had the promises, but they died without receiving them, but embrace that they are pilgrims on earth, and they expected a better city which is not found on the earth. So every saint of God in Hebrews 11 were traveling towards a city, and that was to go for the city of Jerusalem, where we are traveling towards. We are not traveling to the holy land of Israel that is in the Middle East. And we think, oh, if we go into the holy land of Israel and touch our heads on the wall, prayer wall, or bring some anointing oil, no, nothing will happen. We are traveling towards the spiritual city, the holy Jerusalem. Why? To become a member, to become a citizen of the holy city of Jerusalem, because that is the bride of Christ. That is the spiritual Israel. Hallelujah. For whom the bride will come for. Hallelujah. And that was not orchestrated in Revelation. The holy city Jerusalem will be the bride of Christ was not orchestrated in Jerusalem. It was already there in the Revelation, in the mystery archives of God. And that is how God started to birth Jerusalem on earth. When he birthed Jerusalem on earth, the name of the, it was birthed through an altar. The origination of Jerusalem on earth was birthed through an altar. And the name of the altar itself is Jehovah Jireh, means the Lord will provide what? A bridegroom for you.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And this bridegroom will be sacrificed for you. And he will be a husband to you. You see, you read the book of Jeremiah in some places, even in Ezekiel, Isaiah, God will say, you are married to me. Yesterday we were reading from Jeremiah. God said, you were married to me, but you have committed harlotry. So he considers Israel as his bride, the Lord. Now, when we accepted Christ, we are the part of, that is how he considers us. And if we are compromising with God, that is harlotry. Anyways, let's see the origination of Jerusalem. I told you the origination of Jerusalem is through an altar. One of the aspects of the altar is the mark of God's ownership over a territory, over a group of individuals. From where did Jerusalem was birthed on the face of the earth? It's in Genesis chapter number 22. Let's go to Genesis chapter number 22. Verse number. Let's read. Okay, let's read from verse number 1. Let's start reading from verse number 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Underline the land of Moriah, that is the Jerusalem. That is Jerusalem, land of Moriah. It was previously known the land of Moriah. Then you will, when you will search out history and geographical things, you will see that land of Moriah, where God was calling Abraham to sacrifice his only son that he got, was Jerusalem. Now that is how Jerusalem started off. Now, for those who have, I have preached a sermon already. So, but if I say something without details here, without the addition of details, it might create controversy. But you know, the way Isaac was born, it's in Genesis chapter number 21. Whenever the Bible talks about how people were born, it says Adam knew his wife Eve and she conceived Cain. Adam knew his wife Eve and she conceived Abel. Adam knew his wife Eve and she conceived Seth. That is how the chronology or the genealogy is mentioned. But when you will read about Isaac in Genesis 21, it is not written like Abraham knew his wife Sarah and she conceived Isaac. It gives a different arrangement of sentences there in the scripture. Genesis chapter number 21, it says, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. It was impossible biologically for these guys to give birth. So God made it possible by visiting Sarah, like he visited who? Mary in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit visited Mary, came upon Mary. Because if, hallelujah, what does the Bible, what did God told Abraham? In your seed, the nations of the earth will be blessed. Who is the seed? Tell me. Who is the seed? Who is Abraham's seed?
Abraham, Isaac.
Isaac. But spiritually, who is the promise, the seed actually? Jesus. Yes. Jesus. And how was Jesus born? By the Spirit. So, hallelujah. God wanted to start the legacy of His Spirit on the face of the earth. And when we accept Jesus, we are born exactly in the same way as Isaac was born. And that's why we become children to Abraham. How was Isaac born? By the Spirit. And when we accept Jesus, we are born again by the Spirit. That people are not understanding here. And that's how we are becoming seed to Abraham and become a partaker of the covenants of what Abraham received, partaker of the blessings what Abraham received. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So God is saying, Abraham, it's not a test of whether Abraham will get it. It is between Abraham and God. What happened there? And God is asking his son to be sacrificed that God gave Abraham. Abraham did not birth the son with his own abilities, with his own sperm. It was birthed by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Supernaturally. That is how he was birthed. And God is asking back his son. That's what the Genesis chapter number 22 is filled with. 21 and 22. Is filled with the things about Jesus. Hallelujah. About Jesus. So he is asking that son, Isaac, Abraham, you need to sacrifice that son on where? On Moriah. on Moriah. Moriah is Jerusalem. So build an altar, sacrifice your son. So that is how. Okay, let's jump those verses. Genesis 22. Genesis 22. Verse number 7. Okay, let's jump to verse number 7. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. I was talking about the things of heaven last Friday meeting. And even the last week, I was talking about the agreement of witnesses. The people who have walked with God, if I am walking with God, the revelations that I see, the things of heaven about Jesus, will exactly match what Abraham received from God. Abraham had a revelation of the providence on the mountain of Moriah. On the mount of the Lord, mountain of God, that is the throne of God himself, the Lord will provide for himself his own begotten son, who will usher the way into the presence of God. The holy city will have a bridegroom, and this bridegroom is not only getting married to the holy city, but this bridegroom is responsible to redeem the holy city, Jerusalem, and consecrate the holy city, Jerusalem, by his own sacrifice unto the Lord. That is the revelation of the mountain of Moriah. Hallelujah. I think Sunday night is a silent night for us. It's group, the group feels.
Amen.
Oh God. Hallelujah.
We're digesting.
Hallelujah. Okay. Okay, so verse number 8, Genesis 22, verse number 8. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar. An altar there, and placed the wood in order. He bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt offering instead of his son. Hallelujah. Amen. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide," as it is to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. So instead of Isaac, a child, a promised child, who was supposed to die on the altar, the Lord replaced him by something that the Lord himself provided for himself. Where he provided? On the mountain of the Lord. What is the mountain of the Lord? The Mount Moriah. What is Mount Moriah? The Mount Moriah is Jerusalem. So instead of, hallelujah, instead of a child born out of a promise, born from the Spirit, that is Isaac, who was supposed to be killed on the altar as a sacrifice, God replaced and provided for himself, his own self, a ram. Which signifies that instead of we going and dying the death in heaven, in hell, and going to go to hell and suffering and going to die eternally in hell, God provided for himself a sacrifice for his own self. And he sacrificed for his own self towards the redemption of the mountain Moriah, towards the redemption of the Jerusalem, of which we are members. It says, Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Jehovah Jireh, and most of us use this word, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide finances. Actually, the context and the revelation of the word is, the Lord will provide for himself a bridegroom to redeem her bride, that is Jerusalem. Hallelujah. So there, listen to me, when Abraham performed a sacrifice and obeyed the command of the Lord, built the altar, did what God wanted him to do, and he built the altar, but God said, stop, Isaac will not be sacrificed, you and me will not be sacrificed. Instead of us, God provided for himself a lamb, a ram, who will be sacrificed instead of us, and through that altar and through that sacrifice, Isaac will be redeemed, and the place will be redeemed, the mountain of the Lord will be redeemed, and Abraham and Isaac became the citizens of that very mountain on which they performed the ritual activity of the altar. And then when the Lord provided the ram, the sacrifice and the blood of that ram redeemed Abraham, redeemed those people who were standing right on the mountain at the altar. They were redeemed and the place was redeemed. And God marked his ownership on that place called Moriah, which is the holy city, Jerusalem. That is why Revelation says that God has there is a marriage of the Lamb. The Lamb is going to get married. Which Lamb? This Lamb in Genesis 22. Irrespective of the normal marriage, where actually in India and in some cultures, it is the bride who gives the dowry to the bridegroom. It is the bride who has to sacrifice their relationship with their parents and come to the bridegroom. It is the bride who has to sometimes in some cultures give money to the bridegroom. But in this context of the heavenly marriage, it is the bridegroom who is sacrificed for the redemption of the bride, which is the holy city, Jerusalem. Hallelujah. That is how this is the beginning of the revelation of Jerusalem, the mountain of Moriah. And what happened on the mountain of Moriah? On the mountain of the Lord. Remember, I told you in the first part of the mysterious of this sermon that Lucifer coveted the throne of the mount of the congregation. But Lucifer is a selfish angel. He will not sacrifice anything. But God is selfless. He is loving. He loves his people. That's why he did not ask for anyone for his people. He gave his own son to be a sacrifice for himself. He did not ask you to do anything. He gave his own son. Amen. That is Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Irrespective of Lucifer, who wanted the throne, but who is not like God. He coveted the mount of the congregation, which is the throne of Jerusalem from the beginning, Isaiah 14. But he is not like God. God is God, though he is the creator and the master architect and the master of the universe, created all things, but yet when it came to solve our problems, he did not say, you need to do some things to solve, you need to, if you want to be saved from hell and if you don't want to die eternally in hell, then you need to do something for yourself. He did not say that. For the redemption of Jerusalem, he provided for himself his own son. That's why God said, don't sacrifice Isaac. If you need to sacrifice, I will provide the element of sacrifice. And God provided for himself his own son. God provided for himself ram, and that is the meaning of the Lord will provide. In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Hallelujah. Now that place, when he built the altar, I told you, what are altars? Altar is the mark of God's ownership over a territory. Altar is the mark of God's ownership over a tribe, over people. That is an altar. When he created that altar and when this was done, God marked that place as the place where God will build his print, his copy of the holy city Jerusalem, that is the ancient city of heaven, on the face of the earth. So that place became the mark of God's ownership, where God will establish Jerusalem. In the later part of the Bible, that is the place where Abraham sacrificed the ram, which became Jerusalem, the mountain of Moriah. Okay. Then it says, then after Abraham sacrificed, the Lord gave a blessing to Abraham. And that blessing was the law or the covenant of the altar of Jerusalem. That blessing was the covenant that should not be violated. An altar can retain the ownership of its owner only when the laws of the altar are abided by. If the law of that altar is broken, another owner can build his own altar and take over the place and negate the ownership of the owner of this altar. That is the fight of the altars. Hallelujah. We will come to that. Stay with me. That is why the temple of Jerusalem, when we come to the temple of Jerusalem, I will show you how the temple was built two times, renovated once, and then destroyed two times. Why it was destroyed? Why the temple of Jerusalem was destroyed? Because the law of that altar, on the basis of which the city of Jerusalem was founded, was not followed. And when the law of the altar, you see, altar is the mark of spirit beings' ownership on territories. And that is how the demonics function, by altars. But when they want to capture a territory that belongs to God, what they want to do is they want to make the people, the priesthood of the altar, corrupt, so that they will break the laws of the very altar. So the owner of the altar has to leave, and so that the owner of the opposite altar takes over the ownership of the territory. Hallelujah. Stay with me. So, in Genesis chapter number 22, verse number 15, it is the law of the altar, or the covenant of the altar, that has been released to Abraham in verse number 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and you have not withheld your son and your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies." Hallelujah. "In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. What is the promise of the altar here? The covenant of the altar. Blessing will I bless you, multiply will I multiply you, and the descendants will be countless. And what they will do? They will possess the gate of the enemy. So, if a contrary spirit wants to break the law or the governance of this altar, he needs to make a descendant of the altar, or a priest of this altar of God, perform something which is against the promise of the altar. And the devil did that by instigating David to count Israel. Stay with me. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter number 21. 1 Chronicles chapter number 21. Verse number 1. 1 Chronicles chapter number 21, verse number 1. Now Satan stood up against Israel. How did he stand up against Israel? By moving David, and moved David to do what? To number Israel. Okay. So David said to Joab and to the leaders of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba to Dan and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. Now you know the story. When David numbered Israel, the anger of the Lord was aroused against David. You might say, Satan asked David not to commit adultery, not to murder, not to do any types of sins that we consider as sin, but just to number Israel. What's wrong, brother, in taking a census of a country? What's wrong? You don't understand the law of altars. Hallelujah. How many of you know this story about David taking the census of Israel? Do you know what happened afterwards? Hallelujah. Have you read your Bible, brethren? God's anger was aroused. Listen to me. God's anger was aroused when David started to number Israel. And the Bible says Satan instigated David. The spirit of Satan, a demon, moved David, the king, this guy, the one who possessed the gates of Jerusalem, the gates of the enemy. He brought the Ark of the Covenant. Remember? When he was bringing the Ark of the Covenant, he was dancing. He brought the Ark of the Covenant. There were some problems because he was putting the covenant, Ark of the Covenant, on the bullock cart and bringing. So let me not go into all those things. But after that, he brought the Ark of the Covenant on the shoulder of the priest. And when he was coming, he wrote a psalm. I think Psalm 24. He said, lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, for the King of Glory to come in, the ancient king, your ancient king, to King of Jerusalem. And this king has marked the ownership on this land. Let your original king come in. David was the one written in Genesis 22 who possessed the gates and brought the king. David knew he was not the real king. David knew there was a spiritual king who is in heaven. That is the King of Glory. And that's why he was a prosperous king, actually, an earthly king. Because he knew the King of Jerusalem is the one who rules from the original Jerusalem. So he said, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, for the King of Glory to come in. Who is the King of Glory? King David? No. The Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of Glory. Hallelujah. So the Lord fights on the strength of altars that the saints of God built up. That is spiritual warfare where altars are created. And are we understanding? Stay with me. Okay? slowly, you will, those who don't understand, slowly, you will get. That's why it's very necessary to read your Bible. To read your Bible carefully and not to ignore any scripture. Listen to me. So David brought this guy who possessed the gates of the enemy, brought the King of Glory and built up Jerusalem. You know, when was Jerusalem established? During the time of David. When was the plan of the temple of God in Jerusalem started to be being initiated? By David himself. So David was the one who was supposed to possess the gate of the enemy. So if Satan wanted to again reoccupy Jerusalem, he had to corrupt David to do something which is against the law of the original altar that Abraham created, on the basis of which God owned Jerusalem. What was the law? What was the promise of the altar? Blessings will I bless you. Multiplying will I multiply you. Your descendants shall be as the stars. Can you count the stars in the sky? Can you count the particles of the sand of the sea? No, it is countless. That is the promise of the altar. But Satan moved David himself to count Israel. And when he counted Israel, David mocked the promise of the altar, on the basis of which Jerusalem was established under the rule of God. And that's why God was angry with David. Do we understand that? Listen, stay with me. So, 1 Chronicles 21. Open your Bible. Everyone, I don't know, behind the screen, but I hope you have a Bible with you and a pen with you and a diary with you. 1 Chronicles chapter number 21. It says David was moved by Satan to count Israel, to number Israel. And David did that. Let's jump to verse number 7. And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore, he struck Israel. So David said to God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I pray, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. You see, David was repenting and telling God, I have displeased you. And what you need to take away? My iniquity, because I have committed an ancient sin. I have aligned with the iniquity of the ancient being Lucifer and tried to mock the mount of the congregation, the throne of Jerusalem, by violating the promise of the altar of Jerusalem. So, please forgive me, I have done foolishly. Verse number 9, it's not so easy for David to escape because he has violated the promise of an altar. Let's see what happens. Verse number 9, then the Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose one of them for yourself, that I may do it to you. So Gad came to David and said to him, thus says the Lord, choose for yourself either 3 years of famine, 3 months to be defeated by your foes with the sword of your enemies overtaking you, or else for 3 days the sword of the Lord, the plague in the land, with the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. Now consider what answer I should take back to him who sent me. And David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great. But do not let me fall into the hand of man. David is a wise man. He chose the option where the Lord was going to punish him and not his enemies. So he said, men are unpredictable. You know what? Let me fall in the hand of the Lord. And let me choose the option where the Lord was going to send a plague. So I know if I plead the Lord will listen to me. So let me fall in the hands of the Lord. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell. And God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. As he was destroying, the Lord looked and relented of the disaster and said to the angel who was destroying, it is enough. Now restrain your hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by a threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Then David lifted his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and heaven. Which is this angel? The Revelation chapter number 10 and 10 angel. The big angel. Okay, let me not go into those things. The angel that I already explained to you in the previous teachings. The angel who keeps the covenants of the Lord, performs the covenants of the Lord. This is that angel. Having in his hand a drawn sword stretched out over Jerusalem. Because David corrupted Jerusalem by counting Israel. So David and the elders clothed in sackcloth fell on their faces. And David said to God, was it not I who commanded the people to be numbered? I am the one who has sinned and done evil indeed. But these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, O Lord my God, be against me and my father's house, but not against your people, that they should be plagued. So God now released a solution to escape the, you know, to be, for the sin to be forgiven and David and Jerusalem to be redeemed back. What was the solution? Therefore, the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go and do what? Erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. So David went up to up at the word of God, which he had spoken in the name of the Lord. Now Ornan turned and saw the angel, and his four sons who were with him hid themselves, but Ornan continued threshing wheat. So David came to Ornan, and Ornan looked and saw David, and he went out from the threshing floor and bowed before David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar on it to the Lord. You shall grant it to me at the full price, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people. Hallelujah. The solution to the violation of an altar is rebuilding an altar. The solution to the violation of an altar is rebuilding an altar. When the altar of Israel was violated during the time of Ahab and Jezebel, remember what was ruling during Ahab and Jezebel? What was destroying God's people or corrupting God's people? The altar of Baal and Ashtoreth. Why the altar of Baal and Ashtoreth were destroying and corrupting God's people? Because the altar of God on the mountain of Carmel was left unrepaired and left desolate. So for the vengeance and the fire of God to again come and destroy the ownership of Baal and Ashtoreth over the territory of Israel, what Elijah had to do is to go on the mountain of Carmel. And what he did there, he rebuilt the altar, he repaired the altar. So the ownership of the original owner, the Lord of heaven and earth, can be executed. His ownership can be executed back in Israel, and the prophets of Baal and Ashtoreth can be punished, and the altar of Baal and Ashtoreth can be destroyed. These are war of altars, and that is on the basis of which Amen. Jerusalem was founded. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Are you understanding that? I know sometimes it goes over the heads of people, but you can listen to it again. Hallelujah. After it is posted. Okay. Okay. Let me again, once again, repeat it. What was the promise given to Abraham when he created the altar on mountain of Moriah? Your descendants will be countless. Your descendants will be countless. Okay, on the basis of which God marked his ownership on that land, on the mountain of Moriah, which is Jerusalem. And David was the descendant of Abraham, the seed of Abraham, who brought the King of Glory and established the city of Jerusalem under the rule of the King of Glory, the King of Jerusalem. But the devil is a person who will not give up. Remember, Lucifer wants the throne of Jerusalem. Now, since Lucifer wants the throne of Jerusalem, the only way he can get the throne of Jerusalem by violating the law of the altar on the basis of which God is ruling Jerusalem. And if he wants to violate the law of the altar, he has to use the priest of the altar, the one who brought the presence of God, the leader himself. Remember, Noah cursed Canaan and cursed Ham. The devil used his own mouth to bring a curse and to bring entrance into the line of Noah, because after the whole world was destroyed in the flood, the devil again wanted an entrance. And if he wants an entrance into the line of God's descendants, it can only happen through the leader It can only happen through the one who is leading. If he does some things that violates the law of the altar. Because I told you, an altar, listen to me, very carefully listen to me. You build an altar in your house. And through the altar, God is executing his ownership in your family. God is executing his governance in your family. God is in control. But there are laws that God gave you about the altar. Now, if those laws are broken, the ownership of God is violated in your family. And when the laws of the altar is broken, another spirit owner gets a way to build his altar and to execute their ownership over your family. That is what is happening in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Why did Satan instigate David to number Israel to violate the law and the promise of the altar? So that he can get an entrance and corrupt Jerusalem right from the time of David. But David, since he was a man who knows, even if a righteous man falls 7 times, yet he rises again. He was a man who could repent. He's a man who was humble. That is how, even if you sin and violate the law of the altar, but don't leave the presence of God. Go back to God. God will speak to you, and then he will empower you, and he will give you instructions to rebuild an altar.
Amen.
To rebuild the altar. Elijah, the Bible says, rebuild an altar. Because Israel was ruled by demonic spirits of Baals and Ashtoreth. No prophet could survive in Israel. Because the Bible says Jezebel killed them all. Only Elijah was among the prophets who was alive. And apart from Elijah, there were other 100 of them hiding in the cave. But by Obadiah. But they were not functional. Elijah was functional in the prophetic anointing. In the prophetic office. In order for God to again bring rain and again rule Israel, what Elijah had to do was to rebuild and repair the altar. Because the altar was violated and destroyed by Israel themselves. And so, because the altar was violated and destroyed, the devil, as other spirit entities, Baal and Ashtoreth, came and occupied Israel. The devil from the beginning is against Jerusalem. He wants to occupy the earthly Jerusalem. He wants to again and again come and occupy earthly Jerusalem. And that's why I'm teaching you this, what happened during David's time. David was the person who established Zion, established Jerusalem under the laws of God, under the word of God, under the authority of the king, the real king of Jerusalem. But from that time itself, the devil was trying to find out a way to occupy Jerusalem. So because he violated the law of the altar, God said, if you want the plague to stop, because you will not, David, you will not build an altar if I don't punish you. There should be an urge in you to rebuild a new altar to me. That's why I punished you. Sometimes God gives problems in your life and brings some calamity, disease in your life, because he knows that until a calamity strikes you, you will not feel a urge to rebuild or to repair your altar. So David, that's why God brought punishment. He said, 3 options I give you. What do you need? And when David saw that the plague was not stopped and people were getting killed, God said, okay, what? God, tell me, Lord, what I need to do. Please, please have mercy on me. God said, build an altar. Build a new altar. Do we understand that? And David went to that place. Angels were there in the place. And he built a new altar. Thank God. Hallelujah. Otherwise, if David did that, the devil would have thrown David out of the throne and occupied Jerusalem right in David's time. Do we now understand that? Jerusalem is the conquest. Jerusalem is a mysterious place. And the devil is all out for it. Oh, Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Cries out. the Spirit of God, you who persecuted your own prophets, you who stoned the prophets and shed the blood of the prophets. Why? Because the enemy took over Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Jerusalem contains the blood of the prophets. We will come to that afterwards. The land of Jerusalem. And the Lord has no plans to build a physical temple in Jerusalem and to dwell in earthly Jerusalem. And that's why he has chosen you and me not to be a partaker of the earthly, but of the heavenly Jerusalem, the real city. The Lord is done with this Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Because the devil has tried his best, and that is where the seat of the Antichrist will be established. Now do we see the what happened there? Now then, David built an altar to the Lord. When he built an altar to the Lord, the plague stopped there. Okay, let us not go into those things. But that is how you get back to God. It's by rebuilding your altar. That is how God can. Have you ever experienced the devil hitting hard against you and you being attacked left, right, and center, and you don't understand what to do? 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, and on the fifth day you feel an urge to go to God, close your room, go to God in prayer and ask God and pray unto the Lord, consecrate yourself. And then when you do that, have you got relieved and the attacks after that ceased, or you became immune and developed a perspective through which the attacks against you ceased? It all happened because you repaired your altar and you rebuilt your altar. It all happened because you did something through which the enemy found a way to enter your house and scatter everything. And the Holy Spirit brought an urge in you to go, to go, to go, and again pray. And when you prayed and when you spent time with the Lord, you got the word of the Lord, and after that it ceased. Has it happened with you, people of God? It is the laws of altar. It's the law of ownerships. That is what happened with David. David did something because of which the devil got an entrance and there were attacks. And then he was asked to rebuild the altar, an ancient altar on the basis of which Jerusalem was founded. And when he rebuilt the altar, the plague stopped and there was peace. Because God could again execute his rule through an altar. Altars are so important. And Jerusalem was established on the basis of the altar. But the devil is all out to corrupt that altar. Okay, let's go now to the temple history in Jerusalem. To the temple history in Jerusalem. The first temple in Jerusalem was built by Solomon. And the temple was built by Solomon with the Ark of the Covenant in it, which signified the presence of God in it. So the first temple was built by Solomon. Secondly, this first temple was built on the basis of laws of the temple given by God. If violated, God said, this temple will be destroyed and I will no longer dwell in this temple, Solomon, which you are building. Okay. Second point of the temple history. Because the laws of God were not fulfilled for the temple, Israel allowed the devil to corrupt the temple. The temple was destroyed by Babylon in 586 BCE. So this temple was destroyed completely by Babylon. Why? Because Israel did not abide by the law of the temple. Okay. Then, thirdly, we will come into those details, but I am giving you a summary of the temple. Thirdly, Ezra and Nehemiah rebuilt the temple again. So this is the second temple, where Ezra and Nehemiah rebuilt the temple around 20 BCE. The same temple was renovated and expanded by Herod during the time of Jesus. And this temple built by rebuilt by Nehemiah and Ezra in their times, which was now renovated by Herod, was also now known as Herod's temple. This same temple which was prophesied by Jesus, the second temple, Jesus said, you will not see one stone left over another. Everything will be destroyed. This temple will be destroyed. So Jesus did not come to save the temple. Jesus came to destroy the temple because the temple was corrupt. So Jesus came to turn your eyes away from the earthly temple of Jerusalem to the heavenly temple in the heavenly Jerusalem, and said, I am not a king of this earthly Jerusalem, because the Pharisees expected Jesus. They were all, you know, they said to Jesus, it took us 46 years to build this temple. And you said, you will destroy the temple. He said, I will destroy this temple, that is my body, and build it again in 3 days. He was talking about his body, the temple, and he was also talking about the temple when he died on the cross. The veil of the temple was torn into two halves. That means the law was broken and the spirit of grace was released. When he resurrected, he gave the Holy Spirit. Okay? Hallelujah. Are we together? So the temple was built two times, renovated one time, and destroyed two times. That's the history of the temple of Jerusalem. The temple of Jerusalem is basically the altar that brings the governance and the rule of God in the city of Jerusalem. The temple of Jerusalem, God had his heart to build the earthly Jerusalem exactly how it is in heavenly Jerusalem. But what to do? This enemy, Lucifer, roams around Jerusalem to occupy the throne. So let's look at the first temple that was built by Solomon. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter number 8. First King, go and read afterwards if you want to understand or to read about the temple. First Kings chapter number 8 talks about that Solomon, how Solomon built the temple, when you read First Kings chapter number 8. But we will skip that chapter. You can read it afterwards. It talks about how he brought the ark into the temple. It talks about Solomon's sermon or speech and prayer of dedication, what he prayed, what covenants he made with the temple. But let's see the important scripture in 1 Kings chapter number 9, verse number 1 to 9. And it came to pass, when Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire which he wanted to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. And the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you have made before me. I have consecrated this house which you have built to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Now, if you walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever. As I promised David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. But if you or your sons at all turn from following me, and do not keep my commandments, my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them. And this house which I have consecrated, and this house which I have consecrated for my name, I will cast out of my sight. Israel will be a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And as for this house which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and will hiss and say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, the Lord has brought all this calamity on them. So the altar was built, and God said, I will be in this temple. I will be in this altar you build for me. My presence will be there. My name will be there. But if the law of the temple, of the altar, will be violated, if you start to serve other gods other than me, then I will leave this place. And this temple will be a desolate place. Again, the law of the altar. Jerusalem is established on the basis of an altar, on the basis of the Ark of the Covenant, which is an altar of the temple of God. And if the law of the temple, if the commandments of the of God are violated, then the presence of God leaves. Don't listen to preachers who say, oh, it's okay to sin. You are under grace. Whenever you are sin, you are blocking the hand of God to work in your life. You are blocking the governance of God to govern your life. Whenever you leave God and serve other gods, whenever you leave God and trust on other things, God can govern your life if you give him full control and complete authority and listen to him and obey him. That is how the governance and the authority of God can be executed in your life, in a family, in a territory, through abiding by the law of the altar, the commandments of the God of this altar that you have built up unto the Lord. So God said, if the law of God, if the commandments of God are not followed by you or your sons, I will forsake Israel. I will forsake Israel. And then my presence will leave. When my presence will leave from the temple, the temple will just be a building. And when a church is not hosting the glory of God, but is just a building, that church is invaded by demons, by Lucifer. Hallelujah. Until the glory of God was there in the temple, no enemy could come against the people of Israel. No enemy could even eye the temple, because the glory of God was in the temple. But when the people of God did not obey God, the glory leaves. The beautiful temple, which has gold, which has cedar wood, wood from Lebanon, and this and that, all sorts of expensive things, is just a building. Is just a building. And that can be easily destroyed by the devil. When the presence of God leaves your life, when the presence of God leaves your family, that family, that life is just prone to the enemy, for the enemy to come and destroy it. But if the glory of God is there, the enemy cannot even enter into that place. Hallelujah. So, Solomon was commanded clearly, don't go to other gods, don't worship other gods. If you do that, my presence will leave, and this temple, which is called by my name, will be destroyed. I will allow it to be destroyed. And it happened so. The temple was destroyed. When was it? The temple was destroyed by Babylon. The temple was destroyed by Babylon. Let's read 2 Chronicles chapter number 36. 2 Chronicles chapter number 36, verse number 15 to 21. And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought against them the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young man or virgin, on the aged or the weak. He gave them all into his hand, and all the articles from the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his leaders, all this he took to Babylon. Then they burned the house of God broke down the wall of Jerusalem, burned all its palaces with fire, and destroyed all its precious possessions. And those who escaped from the sword, he carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. You see that? Because Israel left God and left the ordinances of God. How? We will see that. That's why the temple was destroyed in Jerusalem. The devil was successful to occupy that place and to turn the very people who built the temple against God, against the temple. Listen to me, people of God. The devil is attacking you. Why he is attacking you? Not for you to lose money, not for you to become sick. You know why he is attacking you? Because he wants to turn your mind against your God and make you disobey God and make you break the law of the altar. And once he is successfully accomplished what he wanted to do with you, and he was successfully able to make your mind turn against your own God. Once he has done that, he is able to get into your life and to get into your generation and to corrupt it and to lay your family desolate. Hallelujah. Are we listening? So,
Amen.
Listen to me. He broke the walls. He destroyed and burned the temple because the glory of the Lord left the temple. May the glory of the Lord never leave your temple. May the glory of the Lord never leave your life. May the glory of the Lord never leave your family, so that the devil is not able to occupy your life, your family, and destroy it and lay it desolate. Some Christians, the process has already started. The glory of the Lord is already left. God gave you prophets, but you ignored their messages. But now is the time to come back to repent, how Nehemiah, Ezra thought it very necessary to repent, to pray, to intercede, and then not only to pray and intercede, to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and rebuild the temple of God so that God can again come, hallelujah, and take his rightful place. God is a God who will never come and rule your life until you make him a throne and build a throne for him where he can sit. Until and unless there is a throne, he cannot sit and rule your life. Hallelujah. You have to make him a throne. That's God cannot rule the earthly Jerusalem until and unless the people of Jerusalem, the people of Israel, make him a throne and give him place. Hallelujah. To rule and execute his laws, to rule the kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. How was the temple corrupted? How was the temple of Jerusalem corrupted? Okay, let me go there, and then I think I will end. I will not go ahead. Ezekiel chapter number 8. Ezekiel chapter number 8. Ezekiel chapter number 8, Ezekiel chapter number 9, Ezekiel chapter number 10 is about the glory of the Lord departing from the temple. Now, I have read this many times, Ezekiel chapter number 8, but let me read that. Ezekiel chapter number 8, verse number 1. Why did God decide to leave the temple? Ezekiel is a prophet. Jeremiah is a prophet. Who are prophesying before the exile into Babylon, before Babylonians destroyed the temple that was built by Solomon. Isaiah was a prophet of that time. Ezekiel was a prophet of that time. Ezekiel was a prophet during the reign of Jehoiachin, before, right before, you know, the king of Judah was going to go to the captivity in Babylon, and Babylon was going to, so Ezekiel was right in the transition phase, prophesying during that time. Why did the Spirit of God, the glory of God, leave the temple? There was so much happening in the house of God, in the temple of God. Ezekiel chapter number 8. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house with the elders of Judah, sitting before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell upon me there. Then I looked, and there was a likeness like the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his waist and downward, fire, and from his waist and upward, like the appearance of brightness, like the color of amber. He stretched out the form of a hand and took me by a lock of my hair. And the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven, and brought me in visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the north gate of the inner court, where the seat of the image of jealousy was, which provokes to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, like the vision that I saw in the plain. Hallelujah. Ezekiel was taken inside the temple. I have taken this sermon many times, and I have explained to you what are the four abominations. Now, abomination, when it is clubbed with desolation, it prepares the seat of Antichrist. Hallelujah. That is how the Antichrist will come. And the Antichrist will come by placing the abomination of desolation. When both are clubbed together, it becomes the throne for a man to sit. And where he will sit? In the third temple, which will not be built to host the glory of God, but which will be built to host the abomination of desolation, which will be the seat of Antichrist. I am going to go in detail explaining you what is abomination of desolation. Literally or simply, it means the seat of Antichrist, but there is revelation to it. That is the meaning of abomination of desolation. Stay with me. What is happening in the temple of God is the placing of abomination of desolation. While it was still happening, the glory of God was there. He was looking at everything. The image of jealousy. When Ezekiel was taken in the temple, there was the image of jealousy, which provokes to jealousy. And behold, the glory of God was there, like the vision that I saw in the plain. And he said to me, Son of man, lift your eyes now toward the north. So I lifted my eyes toward the north, and there, north of the altar gate, was this image of jealousy in the entrance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. At the entrance, the image of jealousy. What is the image of jealousy? The image of jealousy signifies spirits, demons. Hallelujah. Which are jealous because people are worshiping God and people are not worshiping them. Jealous spirits. The Bible says, I am a jealous God. So that is one of the characteristics of spirit beings. They are very jealous. Why they are jealous? Covetous. Jealous because they want worship for themselves. The Lucifer wants worship for himself in the temple of Jerusalem. He hates when God comes and sits on the throne and people worship God. He hates that because he is so, that is why he fell from heaven, because he could not tolerate people worshiping God. He could not tolerate the angels bowing down to God. He said, they cannot bow down to God. They have to bow down to me. I want to be God. I want to take the place of God. I want to exalt my throne above God. I want to ascend above the stars of God. And I want to occupy the mount of the congregation. You understand? That is jealousy. It all starts with the jealousy of Lucifer. Hallelujah. A Christian should never be jealous. Jealousy is a dangerous trait of the enemy. You should never say, why they are listening to that person? Why they don't listen to me? I am also saying the same things. You know, I have seen so many Christians doing that. The spirit of Lucifer has entered them. Jealousy. Why are they worshiping God there? The image of jealousy right at the gate. Right at the gate. Hallelujah. So the gate itself, the altar itself was occupied by demons. Hallelujah. The altar itself was occupied by demons. Once I was with a man of God and he was preaching and he was doing wonderful prophesying. We had 3 days meeting. And I saw so many things. And before the third day meeting, something happened. I saw a vision before the third day meeting. And I saw this man of God, as he usually would preach, come and teach and prophesy and all those things and minister. Saw this man of God wearing a certain attire, you know, a coat, a shirt, and a pant, wearing that attire. And then he was preaching. And then I saw right on the pulpit, a very huge angel. He was so tall that I could not see his face. The angel came and right at the pulpit and took away the mic from his hand. I said, what is this? I could not believe, because I trusted the man. I did not know anything, but I saw that vision. So we went out for the third day meeting. And to my surprise, the man of God wore exactly the same dress that I saw him wearing in my vision. I said, what is this? Exactly the same shirt, the same coat, the same pant, exactly the same dress. What I saw him wearing in the vision. And he started to preach. And when he started to preach, a time came where he was not able to speak anything. And then I realized that the angel of God has come and taken away the mic. You know why? Because there was the spirit of jealousy right on the altar. The spirit of jealousy and the spirit of God cannot stay together on a pulpit of a church. Cannot stay together on the altar of God. Hallelujah. If a man hosts the spirit of jealousy, the presence of God will leave the man. They were right on the gate at the entrance. People of God, hallelujah. Are you there? Hallelujah.
Amen.
The spirit of the image of jealousy. These are the reasons why the temple of Jerusalem was destroyed. Verse number 6. Furthermore, he said to me, son of man, do you see what they are doing? The great, what? Abominations. Underline that the house of Israel commits here to make me go far away from my sanctuary. Now turn again, you will see greater abominations. So the abominations were in ascending orders. The second one was greater than the first. The third one was greater than the second and the first. The fourth one was the greatest abomination. And that is what the devil wants to do. That is how Antichrist Babylon want to enter the church. Hallelujah. If you want to know how Antichrist will rule and how he will corrupt the churches, you should learn a historical event that happened. That was the reign of Hitler, how Hitler came into power. First of all, he came as a nice man. And then when he got the power, he changed his face. He changed everything. He said, anyone who does not stand with me will be... And there were, I don't know roughly, I may be wrong, but let's say there were 33,000 churches. And only 5 to 10% of the churches said, we will not bow down to Hitler. The rest said, we will collaborate with Hitler. And because of the minority, those people who did not align with Hitler, the pastors, the churches were destroyed, they were killed. These churches who said, oh, we will align with him, because they thought if we align with Hitler, we will be saved. But they did not know later they will be also destroyed. So the church has a mentality to keep themselves safe. When you keep yourself safe, actually you are destroying yourself. The Bible says those who will take the mark of the beast, they think they are saving their life, but they are destroying themselves to suffer the wrath of eternal suffering in hell. Hallelujah. Amen. The Antichrist was able to enter the church because the church did not have a spiritual backbone. The Antichrist was able to enter the church during Hitler time because the church was not even prepared to handle the situation. They were deceived by a man who came on the political seat. And they were taught safety, security, and convenience. They never knew how to discern spirits. If the church would have been prepared that time, Hitler would have been overthrown. But what he did is what Antichrist will do. He replaced our Father in heaven, and he made a new Bible saying our Hitler, and replaced the name of the Father. That is what he did. You understand that? Hallelujah. That abomination. The picture of the devil occupying Jerusalem is also the picture of the devil occupying churches. Because before bringing Antichrist, the devil, you know, before the elections, how the politicians go and do the campaigning and spend a lot of money, invest a lot of time. They don't even sleep. They travel here and there because they want to gather voters. Because they want to reign. That is how, before the coming of Antichrist, the devil is campaigning in all the churches. The devil is doing his campaigning in the churches of God. Can you say an hallelujah if you understand? Hallelujah. Yeah, the devil, I am telling you that. The devil is campaigning for his selection. For the Antichrist seat. And how he is campaigning? By placing abominations and by turning the people of God towards abominations. And when his abominations will be completed, then he will bring the placing of the abomination of desolation, which Daniel speaks about, which Jesus said. When it is placed, then it will all start. Abomination. That is how Jerusalem is getting corrupted. The temple of Jerusalem. He says greater abomination. We are on Ezekiel 8, verse number 7. So he brought me to the door of the court. Verse number 7. And when I looked, there was a hole in the wall. Then he said to me, son of man, dig into the wall. When I dug into the wall, there was a door. And he said to me, go in and see the wicked abomination which they are doing there. So I went in and saw, and there every sort of creeping things, abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed all around on the walls. And there stood before them 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel. And in their midst stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan. Each man had a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then he said to me, son of man, have you seen what the elders of Israel, elders of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the room of his idols? For they say the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. Okay, let's stop. Let me stop that, because who was doing that abomination, leading the abomination? The name of the person is Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan. I want to speak a bit about this person. Listen to me. If you know this, he was a high priest serving God, and at the same time, he was the high priest of Satan also. So he was doing two jobs. Two jobs. You know, in India, two jobs are not allowed. So we only work once. But in USA, you can work two jobs. Canada, you can work two jobs. You can work three jobs. So he was doing two jobs towards two masters. But actually, he was not serving God. He was only, say, serving Satan, because Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. Either you serve God or you serve mammon. You cannot serve two masters. So, but some pastors in the church from the pulpit are serving two masters. Like this guy was serving two masters. What they were doing? They were offering incense and worship to creeping things and abominable beasts right inside the temple. I want to stop here, because I want to go after this to Jezaniah, the one who was leading the worship to the devil right inside the temple. And that is why the presence of God would leave Jerusalem. I want to tell you a secret. Don't trust the news, what they show about Israel. I'm telling you, don't trust the news, because the one who are orchestrating things in Israel now, you know, the recent attack that was launched on Rafah, and they made it so viral and all those things. It was launched on a demonic festival that is not even in the Bible, that the Jewish people celebrate. And this festival is supposed to come on the 33rd day after the Passover. Especially 33 means the 33 degree of the Freemasons. What I want to say is, those people in the land of Israel who call themselves Jews, who are not even Jews, but are a synagogue of Satan. Because Israel and most of the Jewish people are corrupted by Kabbalah magic and by black magic. That is how the black magic and Kabbalah originated. It originated from the Jewish people. But they are not even Jewish people. They are not the people of God. They are, you know, Jesus talks about that they who call themselves Jews, but are not Jews, but a synagogue of Satan. Most of the satanic agenda movies are funded by this rich Jews who call themselves Jews but are not Jews but are a synagogue of Satan. Who are they? They are Jezaniah. They are Jezaniah who want to initiate the devil taking over Jerusalem. The Jezaniahs are still there in Israel. They are the one who want to initiate the building of the third temple and the initiation of the Antichrist. Let me stop here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The church needs to know Jerusalem, and the church needs to know the mystery of Jerusalem. Because Christians believe, the third temple has to be built, and when the third temple comes, the glory of God will come and God will rule the land God will rule the world, because they don't understand scripture. God has no interest with this world, because the Bible says this world and this Jerusalem will be washed out, destroyed, and the new Jerusalem will be established. This earth has become corrupt and Jesus is coming back soon. If you want a place, it will not be on earth. You have to find a place in the new Jerusalem. You have to be the spirit and the bride of Christ who says, come, Lord Jesus, come. Hallelujah. Because they know that they no longer want to dwell on this corrupt earth. And the Jerusalem that is on earth has been corrupted by the Jezaniah, by the abominations. And soon the clubbing of the abomination along with the desolation will be placed. Hallelujah. Father, we want to confess tonight that we are pilgrims on this earth, and we journey to a land, to a city which is not found here. Yes, we journey towards that city. And Lord, as long as I am there on this earth, I expose the works of the enemy, and I expose the wickedness that is done in Jerusalem. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, through this word, we expose the works of the enemy, that the eyes of many will be opened. Especially I ask you, Lord, that we will learn, Lord, not to be deceived, because the Antichrist is campaigning. He is campaigning big time in the churches, at the gates and the entrance of churches, at the altars, at the secret chambers of churches and congregations. Oh Lord, because before he wants to create and the abomination of desolation, he wants to make the people of God abominable by spreading the lie and the deception in God's people. But tonight we come against it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah, that the church will be prepared, oh Lord, before the great and coming day of the Lord, that the church will be prepared, Lord. Oh Lord, the bride of Christ should not be caught unprepared, oh, by what the devil is throwing at us, Lord. But this word, oh Lord, is preparing us. Let us give ear to this word of yours, Lord, to the Bible, to listening to you and to prayer and building up of altars, that we may be prepared and that we may be used to prepare a generation. Hallelujah. I am telling you, people of God, some of you are, God will greatly bless you, because you know what, after listening to the sermons, in your normal conversations with your family members, with friends, you did not have an answer, but the Holy Spirit will give you answers to speak to them. Hallelujah, that you will convey the truth of God's word. When people have questions, people have so many things about Jerusalem, about what will happen, and these teachings from the Holy Spirit will help you to answer them, so that you will not only save yourself but save the years. I'm telling you, those, you know what, if you are doing the job of circulating even the sermons, and some of you are sending the sermons to others, and you are doing a great job for the Lord, because you are releasing the truth of God's word to the people. Hallelujah. To the people. And these things, this knowledge is not the knowledge of the flesh, but this knowledge that God is giving you and giving through you to other people will save people for such a time as this. Hallelujah. Social media and demons through technology, oh my God, it has destroyed the minds of people. Nowadays, young people cannot even sit 10 minutes with the Bible. How can they sit in my 2-hour sermon? Tell me. Because their mind cannot concentrate to study the word of God. But the Bible says, study the word to show yourself approved. So the more you study the word of God, the more your brain is getting healed and your brain is gathering and developing focus and concentration more. You study the word of God, I'm telling you. Because we are living in a time where the brain is being damaged. People are losing their concentration power and focus. Why? Because they are not hearing God and studying the Bible by sitting with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, protect your mind, people of God. Protect your mind. Oh, Reba Zianta Karabandu. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you for this time. Oh, Lord, I pray that you will give us the grace, Lord, and that we will be able to continue this topic of the mysterious Jerusalem. That you will open the hearts and minds of people to your Lord and to understand, Lord, that you will help us. You will help me. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Holy Spirit, thank you once again. I pray that you will cover all people with the blood of Jesus Christ, even those who are not here, their families. And Lord, I ask you that you will lead us and guide us this coming week, Lord, that you will bless your people. They will walk in your word. They will walk in the Spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we ask. And God's people say, Amen.